And yes, he says to go out into all the world, make disciples and all the rest of it, all the commands he gives. It's not that as only, it is that, but it's more than that. It's to be like him, to become Christ-like. It's amazing what cosmetic and dental surgery can do with extreme makeovers. I don't know whether you've seen the show of Extreme Makeovers, but there's a number of very quite remarkable changes that can be taken place when doctors and hairstylists and fashionable clothes are added and people are able to be somewhat transformed. Whoa. Have you ever felt you needed an extreme makeover of your personality, of you, of who you are? Not outwardly, but inwardly. From being an impatient person, and Marg, I know she's looking at me, to being patient, from being bad-tempered, to being self-controlled, to being from being lazy, to being motivated? Do you feel you need to be transformed and changed so that you're no longer a lustful person, but you're now a pure person internally? From being self-centered to sacrificial? Transformed from being depressed, not of course the depression that is clinical depression, but from just being a dour down person to being a joyful person, and from being covetous and wanting to being generous and giving, to be more like Christ, an extreme makeover. Spiritual formation is the term that it actually comes from the Middle Ages way back, and it's been revived in recent times because it's about just that. It's about maturing of Christians, of believers, to become more like Christ, where the life of the believer is formed into Christ-likeness. And it is an extreme makeover. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 7-19, there is the verse that really this is all built around. And it is this: "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you." Until Paul said that he is, his whole motivation and his ministry is so focused on seeing people become like Christ. That is it. That was what he was about in his ministry, in his life, in his service, in his involvement in ministry within the body of Christ. It wasn't just to have a good program and everything go well. It wasn't just to have lots of outreach opportunities and blah, 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 all the rest of it. It was that the people of God would become like Christ. That's what he was in pains of childbirth. He was actually in his prayer life and in his ministry. It was so gripping to him. It was like having childbirth in his experience, that he might see that in the lives of others around him. And another verse is in Romans chapter 8, where it says, "Those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son." That's the end of a whole string that Paul was talking about, where it starts in eternity past and God chose us, and the whole point is that we might ultimately be Christ-like. So how you doing? And you can ask me, how you doing? Please, because I need to hear this message and apply it more than you. Spiritual formation is an internal transformation that results in outward transformation. That's the whole point of the Christian life. It is an internal change and development that results in outward. Jesus said, don't wash the outside of the cup and plate when inside is full of corruptness and filth. He says, change the inside and then the outside will be clean as well. But the whole point of Christianity is Christ in us, the Spirit of God living in us. Now, there's three components, three aspects of Christian life and living and development and growth. Two, first of all, are knowing and doing. To know and to do. Now, let's take the thing of honesty, all right? We know from God's Word, and the more we read His Word and spend time in there, we have an absolute clear picture of what we are called to be as Christians, to be honest. To be absolutely, transparently honest. Now that should then translate into doing, that we have to actually do it. So when whether it's a little thing or a big thing, that we are honest, with people, and in our, workaday world, our business, whatever it might be, we have to be honest. So there's doing, knowing something and then doing it. But there's a middle component that we often forget about. That is so important, and that is being. You see, if you know God says to be honest, and then you do it, you could be doing it because that's really what you have to do, and you feel you've got to obey God. But ultimately, the real inside, the real you is not there. You're just doing it because of conformity to the Christian community or to a standard that you know is right. But to become a person who has an inner conviction, an inner reality of an honest person. Now, we will always struggle with sin. It'll always be there while we have this mortal body, this physical body, which is so corrupt with sin. But God wants us to become honest people, to be honest. Not just put on honesty as an outside thing in obedience to what God says, but to actually, from the internal part of us, to be allowing the new life that we've received in Christ to develop to the point where we just automatically do it, whether it's small or large, whether it puts us in a difficult situation where we might lose a lot of money by being honest, or whether it doesn't. We will still be honest because it's become part of us. It's grown internally within us by His Spirit and by the new nature that He's given us. So we need to know, we need to be, and we need to do. Let's look at those together. What we must know, and I'd like you to turn to Colossians chapter 3, please. If you've got your Bibles, I haven't got it up on screen, but I want to read there some verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must have an extreme makeover. You must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, and in the image of its Creator. First of all, we need to know. As we heard at Anthem was fantastic the other night. If you didn't come, you missed out on a wonderful thing. It's now put up on YouTube. You can go and have a look at it there. Look up Anthem at Edge or something like that, and you'll do a search and you'll find it. Anthem was fantastic. It was all built around being unchained. That we as Christians have been set free. That we have freedom now that we belong to Christ, that we're in Christ. Freedom means that I'm free now to live the way God wants me to live. That once, before I was a Christian, I didn't have that freedom. I was locked into obeying my selfish desires and those, that base part of my nature that is real and corrupt. And I, long as I wanted to desire as much as I want, I could not break free from that. As Paul said in Romans 7, a wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I can't break free in myself. We can't break free. But in Christ, it says we've died. We've actually, through our union with Christ, we've actually legally been set free. And now by His Spirit, we've been powerfully set free to live the way God wants us to live. We still have a choice. And we can still choose to do things we shouldn't do. We can choose to be impatient. And we can choose not to. It's our choice, but we are able to choose not to. We have, in Christ, the power and the wherewithal, the resources to actually live the way God wants us to live. As I've said before from this pulpit, a Christian need never sin. You can always safely say, I need never sin. I can sin, but I need not. I don't need to. I can actually live the way God wants me to live. I'm free. And that's what it talks about here. We're free to live like Christ because we died and Christ is our life. Our old nature, God never desires us to try and make our old nature better. That's not going to happen. It's irredeemable. Our sinful nature that we're born with, that corruptness within us, that sinful nature is actually unfixable. So God says no, death is the answer for that, and a new life is the answer. So that when a person becomes a Christian, they still have, and you still have your sinful nature, but you now have a new nature, and you have the Spirit of God infused into that new nature, so that you are able to rise above the pull of the sinful flesh, as the Bible calls it, the sinful nature. So we have this freedom to be like Christ, and we have the recreation of a new nature. As it says, I read that verse very pointedly as I read it. We have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its creator. Verse 10. So that's what we must know. If we're going to become like Christ, we need to first start there, that we know these things, that I have freedom, that I'm able to live the way God wants me to live by virtue of those things I just mentioned. Now, we need to look at how can we be before we how can we do? How can we become what God wants us to be? And I'll put down here three things. Spiritual formation is where we change inwardly by being like Christ. Being. It's an internal conviction and growth of who I am to be more like Christ. As it says here in this very verse 10 that we looked at, being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its creator. It's an ongoing process of becoming what he wants us to be. First of all, through spiritual renewal, the Holy Spirit leads and strengthens and empowers change in our lives. And if we don't, if we're not sensitive to the Spirit, if we're not allowing Him to have a part of our lives and to follow Him and allow His prompting to guide us and to help us to make a decision, no, I won't do that, and yes, I will do that. I will help that person in need, even though I'd love to go home and watch that program I've been waiting all week to see on TV. I'll stop and help this person because the Spirit is nudging me to do that, and I'm sensitive to the Spirit of God in my life. And as I follow the Spirit and allow Him to work, and as He renews and brings about change in my life, it actually becomes part of me. I become like Christ. Secondly, renewal of the mind. And as we read God's Word, that's why we put so much emphasis here in this church on reading the Word of God. One year we had to try and read through the Bible all in 1 year. And a number of us did that. I shouldn't say us. I actually started out, but I didn't end up finishing, did I? Okay, I'm being honest. To read the whole Bible in a year on that particular year. We see the importance of that. This year, we're giving you passages to read with questions every month so that you can have a daily quiet time and be encouraged to do that. To get into the Word, and as you do you know what happens? Your mind is renewed. As you think differently, because God's Word is actually changing your thinking. And the more that your mind is renewed by His Word and His Spirit using the Word, then it changes who we are. The being of becoming like Christ. And thirdly, renewal of behavior. You know, the more, if you begin to work on habit patterns and you begin to follow the Lord and obey Him, you'll actually build it into your life to the point where you become what you've built by habit pattern. And so those three areas will enable us to be. Real deep-seated change I'm talking about here. Not superficial stuff where you're just outwardly obeying, but deep-seated change occurs when these three together, the spirit renewal, the renewal of the mind, and the renewal of our behavior patterns, are together a part of our lives, a growing part. Then I want to look at, thirdly, what we must do. So it's not just enough to know it to be, but to do. We need to live in the light of the truth that we know. Here we have in verse 3, you died. Then verse 5, put to death therefore. He said, the reality, the truth is that you've died. When Christ died on that cross 2,000 years ago, at that time, because you put your faith in Him now, you died with Him, and legally you are free. You're free to live the way God wants you to live. It's happened. Now, He says, put to death. Make it reality in your life. And it goes through a string of bad things. Immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which He says is idolatry, by the way. That's interesting, isn't it? That when we are covetous, we want something that's not ours, when we are motivated by greed, we're actually idolaters. Because that thing, or whatever it is that we desire, is in the place of God. He alone is the one to take our affections. It's a challenge for us all. So a decisive action, it says, put to death. It's a command, and it's saying do it resolutely. In the Greek, it has that impact that this is something you've got to do, and do it resolutely. Spiritual formation is not a cosmetic overhaul. It is an extreme makeover, and not even an extreme makeover on the outward, but an internal change. And so a core change, a complete change. So, first of all, then, was living in light of this truth. Now, next, I want to say, I believe the way that we should actually live out what we know to be true and what we become internally is to give God opportunity to work. You see, we all believe that the Spirit of God living in us, or we should believe, the Spirit of God living in us is the means whereby we can live the Christian life. But we have to give Him room to move. And I mean by that, that we need to add spiritual disciplines with our motivations. I've actually got a little equation here. If you want to see spiritual growth in your life, then motivation must be added to spiritual disciplines, and then the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Three together enable us to grow. First of all, motivation, of course, is key. If you don't want to follow Jesus, you won't. And the Christians There's a lot of Christians who come on Sunday and get involved even in Bible study and stuff, but basically our lives can be one of not following Jesus. I just want to do what I want to do, but I'll hold on to the Christian faith and do my thing, and I'll be part of the Christian community because it's not wrong, it's the truth, and I believe it, and I want to worship God, but I still want to live my life my way. I will follow myself, not Jesus, in my daily living. Oh, it won't work. Motivation is key. I've got to say, yeah, I want to grow. I would love to, I'm going to say this, start a men's group of a discipleship group. I did start a little while back when it first came to the church, and I'm going to try and start it again and see for men who want to really grow. You come and see me afterwards if you want to be a part of that group, and we'll find a time that's suitable for everyone. And if we get a small group and we really want to be accountable to one another, we want to be talking to one another honestly about the struggles that we face in our home, in our workplace, in our daily living, in our thinking, in our whole life. And if you want to be a part of a group where we become accountable, where we pray for one another, where we share honestly with one another, so that we become more like Christ together and grow in that way, then you come and see me. Because I see that as priority in my life. I need accountability to others. We all do. But it's got to be the motivation. If you're not motivated, you just want to be in a men's group to go and have a little Bible study and, coffee or something, well, don't bother. That's not what it's about. That group, you can do whatever you like, but this group is designed for people who are motivated to grow, who really want to grow. Then we have the spiritual disciplines. It says in God's word in Philippians 2:13 that it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. The willing, the desire, and the actual ability to do it are both a result of God's grace by his Spirit in our lives. Our spiritual formation needs to be intentional, not just something that happens as you go along life's pathway and read a little here and there and go to church and stuff. This is something that we need to make intentional. And so spiritual disciplines are important. And I'll explain what that means. No spiritual disciplines means no spiritual formation, I believe. Now, spiritual disciplines give the Holy Spirit space and opportunity to do his formative work in our lives. Now, a spiritual discipline is any activity that I can do by direct effort that will help me do what I cannot do by direct effort. That's a quote. I read it. And I thought it was really good. Let me read it again. Any activity that I can do by direct effort that will help me do what I cannot do by direct effort. You see, if I have a discipline, a spiritual discipline in my life of a quiet time, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I really set aside time and I make it a discipline that I have time with God and I give myself to that. I actually carve out a time. I set the alarm clock or whatever I do to make sure it's a discipline. It's something I actually have to physically do. I need to organize myself. I need to be disciplined in it. And when I do, what happens? It gives room for the Spirit of God to do what I cannot do. That has changed my life. The spiritual discipline doesn't change my life, and it's not to become legalistic, where if I don't have my quiet time, I'm not a good boy, and God's going to be angry with me, and he's not going to be blessing me today because I haven't had my quiet. That is absolute garbage. That is legalism, and it's terrible. Forget it. But if I set myself to have a daily quiet time in order to give God the opportunity to work more in my life than he would otherwise, because he's willing and ready, but I've got to put myself in the place where he will do the work that he needs to do in my life. That's a spiritual discipline. It might be there's all sorts of disciplines. There might be a time of fasting. You might take a day when you fast and pray. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. And so there are a number of things like carpenter's tools that are there to enable the building to take place. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit's prompting, to God's prompting. And we read that over further in this passage where I didn't read it to you, but it says in verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts." This again is giving opportunity for God to work. It is being sensitive to God and His prompting. I was talking earlier about the Spirit of God prompting us and nudging us and making us convicted about something or have caution about something. He's making us, moving us to do something or to not do something. That awareness of the Spirit. Let the peace of Christ, the peace of God, rule in my heart. In other words, when I have peace about something, I'm letting His Spirit guide me in my daily living. And if it's not to be done because the Spirit of God has not given me peace, then I won't do it. I'll be operating on that basis. Not of laws and rules, but of the Spirit at work in my life. Be sensitive to His prompting. Submit to God's Word. And it goes on to say in this passage, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let God's Word actually become a part of you. You know, that doesn't happen just by reading a few verses and running off to work. It's by meditating, it's by memorizing, it's by studying, it's by thinking it through. It is by making it yours and making it mine. Next, we need to make ourselves accountable to God's people, as I've already mentioned. But here it is when it says, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and so on. In verse 16. So it's saying that as you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, but then as you teach and admonish one another. That's talking about Christian community, whether it's a one-to-one discipleship thing that you're in and you're teaching and admonishing one another, you're actually accountable to one another, or whether it's a group, or whether it's a wider community of God's people where you teach and admonish. Where the teaching is to help people understand the truth, and admonishing is applying it to their lives and helping them, making them accountable. Now, can I say, you can never make another person accountable to yourself. You can provide the opportunity for them to make themselves accountable. People have to make themselves accountable to you and you to them. It's their choice to make themselves accountable, and it's my choice to make myself accountable to them. You can't force it on another person. But when they are willing to and wanting to, and you are, then you can enter into a discipleship relationship where you help one another grow. Discipleship is not about just having a little Bible study together to encourage one another. No, that is part of it, but that's only a part, small part of it. The whole idea of discipleship is to really invest in another person's life and help them to become like Christ as they help you to become like Christ. Where do we begin? By taking an assessment of our lives and really taking seriously the idea of change internally by the Spirit to be like Christ, not just follow outwardly Christ's rules. One aspect of that is the whole idea of practicing His presence. To actually live my life knowing Jesus is with me by His Spirit, that He is walking with me through my day and practicing it. So I've got a little project for us all today, for this week. If you're not on Facebook, go and join. Because I'm being serious. From this point on, I'm being serious. I'm going to ask all those that are on Facebook to journal how they're going with walking through this week and practicing God's presence. So that we can, or you can find other ways if you want to ring up and on phones or do it other ways, but I'd like us to sort of have a sort of accountability to one another, a sort of awareness and encouragement to one another through the week. And let's make it this week, whether we do it through Facebook or just by phoning a friend and connecting in that way, whatever we do, but let's aim from now through to this time next week to actually practice the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives and to be conscious of His presence with us. And to be bringing Him into our daily living. And let's make it a little project for the week so that we actually develop that area of our Christian lives. Now, that's not going to be easy because we get so focused and involved in life, don't we? And I'm the same as you. It's a struggle. But it's something that we can develop. But I want to say that it won't be it's only part of what changes us. It's still going to be a struggle to be like Christ. I want to finish with this story of Frank Lorbeck, who was a missionary to the Philippines, a doctor, and he spent a year, and he journals it, a year of intense moment-by-moment awareness of and listening to God, and he chronicled it in a series of letters to his father, and then they were put together in a book called Letters to a Modern Mystic, by a Modern Mystic. And he says, "We used to sing a song in church which I liked, which I never really practiced until now. It runs, moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment, I've life from above, looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am Thine." And he chronicles how his journey through that year was of practicing the presence of God. But the interesting thing was that at the end of it, he said that his struggle against sin and his growth in Christ-likeness was still a huge struggle. It helped, and it wasn't a waste of time, but it was a struggle, because it still comes down to really growing in Christ, which is not easy. No one here would disagree with that. It's not easy to be like Christ. In one sense, it is easy. But it's always a struggle because our sinful nature is always wanting to take over and be in charge. Let's pray. Father, we ask that as we embrace this week ahead, and for any of us who want to seriously take on the challenge to live our lives moment by moment almost, or try to bring You more into our daily living and to be aware of Your presence and sensitive to Your guiding and nudging us along, and help us, Lord, to do this with a sincere heart, and may it be a growth experience for us, and may we become more like You, we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.